time to pop open a cold one, fire up the grill, and listen to BigFoamyHead.com.
Welcome to Show 18.
BigFoamyHead.com.
And this is the Southeast Beer Show.
Well, we have a variety of topics to talk about today, so we'll be all over the map, but it does have a theme to it.
That's right, and it starts with these beers that we are enjoying, and we've already got one underway in our several attempts to try and get this show going, and we just drank some beer from the
Sweetwater Brewing Company from Atlanta, Georgia.
Yeah,
and these were brought to us from Kenny, my coworker, who thanks to you again.
Yep,
he was visiting his brother who just graduated from Army Rangers School, so kudos to him and the Rangers.
Yeah.
And Kenny was thinking about us on the show, so he brought back a good sampling of beers.
Isn't that great?
From the Sweetwater Brewery.
And you got a little information there?
Yeah, I'll go ahead and read it. It says Sweetwater is a 25,000 barrel microbrewery located in Atlanta, Georgia.
Yeah.
That specializes in producing aggressive West Coast style beers to be enjoyed in Southeast U.S.
Yep. It was two brothers.
So how did the
Sweetwater begin? Brothers or are they just
partners?
Partners. Yeah.
Frederick Bench and Kevin McNerney went to school together in Boulder, Colorado, which is a great party town.
Beer central in the Rocky Mountains.
During those 4 or 6 years, they realized they had more of a hankering for beer than books, so they jumped into brewing. Actually, jumped into washing kegs on the loading docks of breweries for free beer.
Yep.
Both Frederick and Kevin worked for 7 different breweries in Northern California and Colorado, working on their title of beer connoisseurs and enhancing their business sense. As they're still working on the latter.
Yeah, on the business sense.
Yeah.
Well, it's a small brewery, so, you know, what do you got to know?
Goes on to say that Frederick and Kevin were able to bring West Coast-style beers to the beer desert, known as the Southeast.
Right. And
that would be us.
Yeah, that's us. And that's what I, when I was reading that earlier, I was thinking, there, you know, truer words were never spoken. It is pretty much a beer desert out here. But, as you pointed out, things are changing around here. We've got some premium breweries coming up near us within an acceptable distance. I learned today that we have a world market opening here in town. And I used to buy duffel bags whenever I'd go out to California to buy beer from these guys and bring it home. So I'm excited about that. I hope we're not going to get screwed by the sin tax around here. But who knows? At least it's one more new source for beers. And as you pointed out earlier, it's a busy show. We've already gone hit one of the beers. The first one we started off with was the Sweetwater 420, an extra pale ale. And it was very good. A lot of good hops. It's described as a tasty West Coast-style pale ale with a good hop feel to it and a crisp finish. And first brewed on April 20th, 1997, this beer has developed quite the following in the Southeast. And it is a good beer. We just knocked some back.
Yeah, mostly when you hear West Coast-style beer, that's a steam beer. That name is kind of patented.
Right,
so
yeah.
This would be a steam beer knockoff. Yeah. 420 obviously has connotations for the potheads.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't know exactly what all that means, but
that's what you were told, right?
Certainly the brewers know something about it.
It was a tasty beer. It didn't taste real harsh or anything, and it's 5.4% alcohol, so it's good.
I had a pretty good foam on mine.
Yeah.
Dick's didn't foam that well.
Yeah, well, I think that's because I was, like, shaking or something when I was pouring onto you. So, like you said, we got a big show today. We got a lot of things to cover. We're going to be drinking Sweetwater beers. We're going to talk about the homebrew situation. Your Imperial Stout is brewing. My Apricot Ale, I just got underway. We're going to talk about some good barbecue we had and a little on-the-road interview. We've got some cultural information that we're going to impart to you. And we're also going to bring you some beer news.
Yeah, if we have time, we'll throw in the beer news at the end.
Yeah, there you go. That's always there for us. And so we started the show with a little bluesy music, kind of a Stevie Ray Vaughan style. That is a little bit of an instrumental from Arlo West, and appropriately called Texas. So why don't we take a break. We'll hit a song and then come back and talk about some homebrew and some of these other things. And we're going to listen to Brother Goose, Love Had Nothing to Do With It.
Thank you.
We're back. That was Brother Goose.
We're about to open our second beer for the show, and that's the India Pale Ale.
Right. Okay.
Sweetwater IPA. And this mammoth IPA is defined by generous quantities of premium hops and balanced with a premium selection of English malt.
Yeah.
So it should be well-balanced.
Should be.
Traditionally unfiltered IPAs lead to the slight haze appearance. An extensive dry hopping process contributes to its very intense floral hop aroma. Mm-hmm. The IPA is unfiltered and, as always, unpasteurized to leave all the natural flavors intact.
Yeah. And I just got through pouring it, and looks good, and it is exactly as you described.
Yeah, it's a little hazy.
A little hazy.
It's darker.
Looks good, and
should be 6.5% alcohol.
It's really?
The beer you've been training for.
Okay. And we do our share of training.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you can smell the hops on this thing. I mean, I've got it like a foot and a half away, and I can smell it. Yeah, it's good stuff. So we're going to drink a little of that and talk about the homebrew that we got going on. We're putting in some stuff for I've got some homebrew that I've got hopefully will be ready for Christmas. And yours is going to take quite a bit longer.
Mine was the Imperial Stout. If you listen to show 17, we were cooking that in my garage on Thanksgiving. A couple of interesting updates to that.
Yeah.
The day after I put it in the primary fermenter, because the temperatures are cold now, I need to reverse the process of trying to cool the beer for fermentation, so now I've got to heat it up. What I did is I put a hot plate in my little 5-cubic-foot freezer and reversed the settings on the little temperature controller.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I went down the next morning. It was up to 80 degrees.
Right. So, you tell me that. So the idea, while sound in theory failed in execution.
It was just too much heat.
Too much heat. And we know what heat does to yeast. If it doesn't kill them, it gets them all wiggly.
Gets them all going, yeah. So I've corrected that. And just a tidbit of advice for other homebrewers during the winter months. If you put a light bulb in the freezer, that produces plenty of heat. Those freezers are pretty well insulated.
And you mean like taking a lamp and setting it down in there?
Well, just whatever your little household light.
Yeah. Because now your beer kind of went nuts, right?
Yeah, it was doing a lot of high krausen.
Right. So and a high krausen is?
That's the foaming part of when yeast ferments.
That's so right. Sometimes a big foamy head can be too big.
I had about a quarter of an inch of beer at the bottom of the freezer and a big mess everywhere. So I spent about an hour cleaning that up. And then,
Didn't you tell me it like literally blew off the airlock?
The bucket was swollen,
yeah,
and the airlock was just all clouded up or junked up with stuff. So I took the top of the airlock off, and I had like the 4th of July snake that you light on fire, the little carbon thing that spews out. I had one of those of beer foam coming out. So
cool.
I finally dug around my garage and found a hose and hooked it up and then did an overflow. So I had a place for the overflow to go.
So the beer, the Imperial Stout's okay, though. You saved it. It's and you haven't bottled it yet, have you?
Maybe I lost a pint. But no, it's still in the primary.
Still in the primary.
It's going to be there for about 10 days.
Wow. And then you're going to move it to a secondary?
Yeah.
Okay. And so whereas mine, the Apricot Ale, you came over, was it last Sunday? Something like that. And cooked it up. Not a bad cook. It was a True Brew kit. I've had good luck with True Brew products, and this is one that I just got a generic pale ale kit, and I wanted to spice it up a little bit. I doctored it up, and I had had this. I talked before about this Apra Hop beer that Dogfish Head makes, and as it turns out, Pyramid makes an apricot ale, which I haven't had. So we took this apricot. I took a pound of apricots, chopped them up real fine, and dumped them into the bucket, and then put the beer in there. And Rick brought his wort chiller over, in which the way the temperatures were dropping, I mean, it's like in no time we got the beer cooled off. Threw that into the primer, put it on. It bubbled happily for about a day or two, and then I've moved it into my secondary fermenter, and I added another pound of apricots, and I'm looking at it now. We're in the beer control room, looking at about 5 gallons worth of ale. It's a little darker, and it's funny because it's like the yeast play with the apricots. Some of them are on top of the beer. Some of them are on the bottom of the beer.
Mm-hmm.
They just monkey around. I've come in and turned the light on and caught them throwing apricot chunks around. And they're behaving right now, but I'm going to let this sit and clear up. And we were talking about this earlier. I think I'm going to have to use a I got my giant funnel and a strainer and just kind of pour it through there and filter some of the chunks out. But I'm looking forward to it because you gave me some bitter orange and some coriander.
Mm-hmm.
And I tossed a little cinnamon in. So I'm hoping to have a nice ale, you know, good amount of hops, but with that little twist of the apricot and a little bit of spice. And
so with just the coriander and the bitter orange, you have a Belgian wit.
Yeah, exactly.
You added the fruit, so it's going to be a fruit ale.
Kind of a lambic-ish touch.
And then a little cinnamon, I guess, for the holiday. So
it's
going to be an interesting beer.
It's gonna be, and it did a second ferment, too.
And that's the beauty of home brewing. You can do whatever you want.
That's right. You just experiment. You know, sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad, but the worst beer I ever made, it'll get you drunk. if that's what you're after.
Yeah.
So, okay. Well, here's cross your fingers. Hopefully, Biden, I don't think that my beer will be ready by show after next. And hopefully, we'll get to sample a little of it come Christmas time.
How do you like the IPA?
I like this IPA. It is a hoppy beer. And I'm looking at my bottle here that I got. And I think I got a little bit of
sediment
at the bottom.
That's classic for a bottle condition.
Yeah. And it is very IPA-ish. It's got the good hops, and I think you read that about the very intense hop character, unfiltered, unpasteurized, the beer you've been training for. And it's 6%?
6.5.
6.5. That's a lot of alcohol. It sure doesn't taste like it.
Yeah.
So that's great. Good stuff here. Well, let's take another musical interlude and come back and talk about some barbecue. We've got Robbie King with Tell Me.
Just tell me that you love me and you know our love is true. Just tell me that you need me, babe, the same way I need you. Just tell me you'll forgive me when I come home late at night. Just tell me that you'll hold me, babe, until the morning light. Just tell me. Just tell me, oh, tell me. I'm your big cat rockin' daddy and my name is Dynamite. Tell me that you'll dance for me and do the hoochie-coo. Just tell me that you'll shake it, baby, the way I like it to. Just tell me I'm original, a special kind of man. Just tell me how you like it, I'm the only one who can. Just tell me. Tell me, I'm a big cat rockin' daddy, my name is Dynamite. Hey. I know you like it, girl. Feel free to me. Tell me something. Stay with me forever and a day. Just tell me when one night we'll be rolling in the hay. Tell me that'll rock your world and turn it upside down. Just tell me I'm the only one the best you've ever found. Just tell me, yeah. Oh, tell me, girl. Oh, tell me, yeah. I'm your big cat rocking daddy and my name is Dynamite. Thank you.
was Robbie King. Tell me. And what are we doing now? Which is our next Sweetwater beverage that we're going to have?
During the musical break, we finished the pale ale. Yep. Now we're going to move to the sweet Georgia brown ale.
Yeah. And did we ever figure out why the label's different?
No, the other labels have trout on them. Yeah. Apparently, these guys are outdoorsmen and enjoy their trout fishing. This one has the insides of a 45 record.
Yeah.
Very few people, I'm sure, are going to recognize that.
Yeah, depending on your age, you may not even know that a record is a round vinyl disc on which music used to come from. And this is that little weird-looking plastic insert that you'd stick into to play on Mama's phonograph.
The 33.
But it's got this kind of like cosmic-looking label. It says, the description on this is a deep copper, mild brown ale accentuated by a slight nuttiness and a mouth-watering note from our use of honey malt. Well, it sounds good. And as soon as I apply the bottle opener to it, we'll find out how it tastes. It's got a cool little top. Look, it's got the little 45. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
And it's a 5.1% alcohol.
Okay. So hopefully you've noticed an increase in the audio quality as well. Rick and I are getting used to the new equipment. We've invested in some good microphones and mixers, and of course that's where we've run into a little problem trying to figure out which button to push and how to make it work with what we got here. But anyway, we're working through it. Bear with us.
Tried out three computers.
Yeah, so a third computer was the charm, and it looks like we're hopefully going to be bringing a better quality product. And speaking of better quality product, we had some good barbecue today.
Yes, we did.
And we took a little road trip to a place we've talked about before.
The barbecue shop.
The barbecue shop.
On Madison Avenue.
On Madison Avenue. And I didn't know this. I'd been there before, and apparently I just hadn't paid attention. But they were formerly known as Brady and Lil's, which was a Memphis institution. And they've been serving the same barbecue recipe for over 50 years. And
it's definitely a family activity there.
Yeah. Yeah. And so we had some good barbecue. We had a little issue with the service, and we finally got Kenny and Galen on tape.
Yes, we did. They provided a review of their lunch.
Right. And so we've got a little segment here that we're going to let you listen to while we drink our sweet Georgia Brown. And this is in the car on the way home, harassing Kenny and Galen, and just kind of reviewing the different plates and foods that we had and getting a little opinion about it. So take a listen.
I'm not sure that they were willing subjects, but they were put on tape anyways.
They did. So take a listen and make sure all you women out there send your fan mail to Kenny and Galen. All right, okay. Here you go.
It's better. Yes, it's a recording. It says, me, Rick, it's Galen, Kenny, returning from, where were we?
The barbecue shop.
Barbecue shop.
Madison Avenue.
That's right. All right, so Kenny, what'd you have?
I had a large barbecue pork sandwich.
And how did that fare?
It fared pretty well.
Yeah, it looked like it. I noticed you didn't take either hand off the sandwich as you were eating on it. So, and Galen, you, what did you have?
I had the barbecue beef sandwich.
And how was that? Because we've had some suck barbecue beef.
It was excellent. It's a great sandwich.
Yeah.
My favorite in Memphis so far.
Yeah, and I think you said that before, that was a good place to get barbecue beef. And I had the half and half, which was half barbecue spaghetti and half pork. Man, it was good. I cleaned my plate. I think I scratched the porcelain digging at it with a fork. And Rick, what did you have?
Boss ribs. It was 9 ribs on the slab.
Yeah.
Excellent.
And they were loin back ribs.
Yeah, had them dry.
All right. So we all liked the food, and I was the only one that had a beer.
Steinerbach.
Being the only irresponsible one, apparently. But what did we not like?
The service.
The service sucked. I mean, we got there early because you said, y'all all said, if we don't get there before 12, we'll never get any food. So we got there 11-something.
45.
11:45, and man.
Half hour wait, I think.
Yeah. And it wasn't packed, though. That was the thing. We just waited. And
good food takes time, I guess.
Yeah, that sounds good. The beer selection, they claim they had a good beer selection. There's more beers in most places, but a lot of commercial and stuff. So, okay, so we like the barbecue shop, just not the time you got away, and I guess we'll read some history about them on the live thing. So there you go.
All right. So as you can tell, we liked the food. Everybody enjoyed their different dishes, but the service just plain sucks. And you know, that's not really, I guess, atypical of barbecue restaurants around here. You know, if you don't watch yourself, you don't get in there quick enough, it's going to take some time. Around here, that's pretty much the norm. But I still think they could have done a better job considering how, you know, the number of people that were in there.
It wasn't a crowded day at all.
It wasn't a crowded day. I mean, it was really good. Your ribs looked great.
Oh, they were delicious.
I got tied up on my phone call, so I didn't get to grab some. My barbecue spaghetti was wonderful, and that's something that's unique around here. And you were telling me about they smoke the sauce.
Yeah, if you're a fan of Bobby Flay, and what's his show, the barbecue show?
He's got like five of them.
Okay, well, he's got one of these barbecue shows on the Food Network. Tune in, record them, put them on DVR, watch them when you get a chance. He showed the process, and yeah, they put it in with the butts and all the ribs and everything else, and it's on a rotisserie, and it just kind of rotates around, and they get all the drippings from the different meats and the smoke flavor, and it all goes into the barbecue sauce.
That sounds just great, and you could taste a difference in this sauce, so I'd love to try something like that myself, and that's kind of inspired me that next time I cook something, I'm going to throw the sauce in there. So you can see about getting a little smoke flavor into it and a little bit of the drippings. Yeah, that's got to be good.
But I had the dry ribs, and you know, they just absorb all that smoke flavor. It was great.
And I thought that, you know, to give our waitress credit, she asked you, do you want your ribs dry, wet, or half?
Half.
So you know, I guess I recognize sometimes you don't know.
So, when I go to Corky's, I get both.
Yeah?
Okay. I get the mix.
Well, their sauce was great. So I guess, you know, these guys, they've been on Food Network. They had on Chili Magazine up on the wall. They wrote up. They got great food. And so just walk in there. You know, you guys warned me ahead of time, beware of the service. And, you know, so I was not aggravated by it being slow. And I knew what to expect.
You talked about the beer selection already on the tape, right?
Yeah. The sweet Georgia Brown that we're drinking, and it's good.
It is.
It is a very tasty beer, and we were saying offline how it's I likened it to the hazelnut brown nectar school of beers, where it's almost a sweet beer. It's like a dessert kind of beer. I think this is a girl that would enjoy this beer. Not discriminating against women, but you know, it's one of those less hoppy, more sweet beers, right?
I don't know. I don't know that this is in the range yet.
You don't think so?
No. Definitely a framboise. It's very fruity. And
it's a little more maltier than that. Some of them think it tastes like soup.
Well, I'm still getting a good hop signature on this.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm getting less so. When I think, though, it may be because I drank that IPA. Maybe I'm still, you know, it's so different from the IPA that I'm not getting enough of it. But it's a good beer. It's very good. I'm enjoying this. I still don't know why they did the label different. We're going to have to look into that. So our barbecue trip was successful. We had some good barbecue. You finally got to hear Galen and Kenny.
We can challenge our listeners to figure out why they've got the plastic record insert as the label for the Sweetwater.
Yeah, go visit sweetwaterbrew.com and read up on this. Go quick, book a plane, fly to Atlanta, and buy you some of this beer. That's all the reason you need there to you go there. So let's take a listen to our next performer and listen to a little bit of blues from Henry Corey in the Corridors. And this guy, man, this is great. I'm listening to this, and I'm thinking, man, this is a guy. And what do you know? It's another Australian band.
Oh, really?
They're everywhere. I don't know what it is with Australians and blues music, but, man, they got some good talent coming out of
there. And free downloads for us.
Yeah, that's right. And as always, point out, music.download.com. That's where all this stuff is coming from. Patronize them and get stuff from them.
And we have a little show continuity. Last time we recorded at your house, we were having the walnuts that were – and now we're having potato chips there.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Okay, yeah, our official show snack food today. Yeah, that's right. Last time we're having wasabi walnuts.
Now
we've got wasabi potato chips. So, yeah, that's a behind-the-scenes look.
To cleanse our palate.
That's right. To cleanse our palate, nothing like wasabi chips.
Wasabi's the theme here.
There you go. All right, well, let's listen to Henry Corey in the Corridors in the early morning hours.
Well, in the early morning hours, I was thinking to myself, there's got to be a better life than the one I'm living now. In the early morning hours, I was thinking to myself, there's got to be a better life than the one I'm living now. First I lost my job, and then I nearly lost my life. That's why some days are filled with misery and strife. Yeah, first I lost my job, and my love walked out on me. That's why I tell you people, some days are filled with misery. Mr. Smoking George.
Around up and struggle to get to the beer. Okay. Well, thank you. We got a couple more things that we're going to cover. One of the things we wanted to talk about was trying to introduce a little bit of culture into our lives and talk about, just kind of course, we try and center everything around beer, and it just so happens beer is so prevalent, it doesn't really matter what we talk about. We can find beer in it somewhere. So we were going to talk about this movie that we saw over the weekend.
Yeah, it's out in the theaters now. Walk the Line.
Walk the Line. The Johnny
Cash. We did
it
as a double date, which is kind of fun.
Yeah, with our wives. But it's a good movie. I was really impressed with it. It's the early years of Johnny Cash and how he and Gene Carter met up. And, it was a good show, and
Sam Phillips and Sun Studios, and how if you were lucky enough at some point in time, you could have gone to a concert that featured Elvis, Johnny Cash, Roy Orbison, and Jerry Lee Lewis,
and that,
all at the same show.
Yeah. And there is a classic photograph of those four at Sun Studios, and. Of course, we're partial to it because that's where we're at.
Right,
it was in Memphis. It shows Johnny Cash as a little child growing up in Dias, Arkansas, which is about 35 miles away from here. I'm completely familiar with the area. I've been there, and I didn't know he was that close. And, of course, Reese Witherspoon, who portrayed June Carter, she's from Tennessee. So it wasn't much of a stretch for her to...
To pick up the southern accent?
Yeah, that's the way she talks.
Although I thought she did a great job.
She did a great job. And the guy, Joaquin Phoenix, he got the mannerisms down and everything. So here's what we were talking about earlier. Johnny Cash, he's popping pills and he's washing them down with beers. And you can look at it and see it sort of looks like Budweiser's. And they got this one scene where him and the band are just falling down drunk on the stage during rehearsal.
Throwing
bottles around. And I asked Rick, I said, I wonder if anybody did the continuity on that to make sure that the bottles themselves were appropriate for the period.
We're authentic,
which is in the, 50s, 60s era. And I'm wondering about that because I could swear I saw them twist off a top.
I know that they tried to keep the automobiles authentic because my wife's cousin, he has a classic Mustang, and he actually went down to auditions to try and get into the movie.
Yeah.
To have his car parked in the movie, you know.
Yeah. All right. He auditioned his car.
Yeah, he auditioned his car to sit on the street in Memphis.
Well, so that led to other discussions about beer in video and television. So here's challenge A. People who go and see Walk the Line, watch the beers because, as
we
all know,
twist off caps.
Yeah, they didn't have twist off caps in, and then also, I want to look a little closer at it and see where, what is the beer like? Is it showing the Budweiser from back then? Because remember, they used to have the bow ties and things like that. So. I want to on the
I was
on
too
the
young to enjoy Budweiser.
I'm looking at Daddy's beer.
Yeah.
So I want to find out about that. And then the other thing I was telling you about was there's a show on I think NBC called Medium about the psychic woman. And this is what I have noticed. And I paused the show to try and look at it. They never drink the same beer twice. And they drink a lot of beer on that show. After a hard day's work being a psychic, she comes home, and there's her husband, who's always taking care of the kids, and he's pounding back the beers.
Yeah,
one
I think
another.
She's borderline booze hound, actually.
Yeah, I think they both are.
It's part of the themes of the show.
Yeah, I mean, you got to give the woman a break. You see dead people at every turn. You're going to need to have a beer.
Right.
And,
a stiff drink at the end of the day.
Yeah, something. So that was one of those continuity things, and I'm watching this, and I'm thinking, I'm wondering if they got some guy in there, coming up with all these different beers, if that's an inside joke or something. So that's something to look at, and I'm going to keep my eyeball on that and see what I can see. So we're coming down the home stretch.
We're drinking our last beer. It's the Sweetwater Blue.
Right. And so this beer.
We saved it for me because I'm the guy who likes the fruit beers.
Yeah.
And it says the Sweetwater Blue is a unique light-bodied ale. Enhanced with fresh blueberries and all-natural flavors, this euphoric experience begins with an appealing blueberry aroma, which I got immediately, and finishes as a surprisingly thirst-quenching ale.
Mm-hmm. It's very good.
Describes it perfectly.
I'm enjoying this. This would be great on a hot day.
Malt beverage brewed with blueberries and natural flavor added. Malt beverage because it's not a beer.
Oh, they're not claiming it to be a beer?
Well, if you add things other than the... beer purity law allows. Hmm. I mean, does that take it out of the beer?
I don't know. I don't hope the beer police don't come and get me for my apricot ale. But
they could.
So we are coming down the home stretch. I guess we want to save the beer news. I did want to...
This has a 4.8% alcohol.
Okay.
So we've gone down.
Yeah, that's right. We kind of did a little roller coaster thing. But one bit of news that I think we need to read, because it does apply to the southeast U.S., is the deal about them, the pop the cap.
The gist of the story is North Carolina, as we know, just passed a law that allows them to raise the level of alcohol in their beer to about 15%. So it just opened up their beer market to all these craft beers. Well, they just had a beer festival there,
mm-hmm.
and it was in a stadium.
Right. In the Durham Bulls Athletic Park.
That's the
right,
home of the movie.
And that was what,
the Durham Bulls.
Right. Not Raging Bull. The one with Kevin Costner.
Yeah.
Another movie you're talking about.
Yeah, Susan Sarandon.
Yeah. It says an October beer festival tore up the turf at the Durham Bulls Athletic Park so much that local recreation leagues and a high school team likely won't have a place to play baseball. The World Beer Festival attracted about 8,000 people, and the beer kegs and equipment brought in to entertain them left deep scars in the outfield grass. And it was an event that needed to have equipment on the field, but it rained for several days before. They didn't have heavy equipment. It was a forklift and several 4x4s. It was trucks that did the damage.
So the cool thing about this, A, it's in the southeast, which was the desert, according to that other article that we were reading. And it's from North Carolina, where they just did the pop the cap.
Yeah. So. And this says that the beer festival organizer has agreed to pay part of the bill for repairs, which officials said would cost at least $100,000. So, man, that's a hell of a festival, isn't it? And we weren't there.
No, we weren't. And we weren't at the World Beer or the Great American Beer Festival either.
Well, one of these days we're going to make it to a festival and bring a remote or something to you. So why don't we wind it up? And this is a I got a band here that I listened to them in my notes, said that this is kind of a Memphis-style band, but they're from Rhode Island. And they do a good job. We're going to lead out with Route 44 and Redeemed. And what do we think about Sweetwater?
The Sweetwater, I'm going to try and visit them when I'm in Atlanta.
Okay.
And maybe Sunday, Monday.
Hopefully you can bring a beer or two back, and well, who knows, we'll have some more. And so let's call this a
another
show.
Thing, if you go see the movie, mm-hmm. Walk the Line, yep. Look for the Dempseys. Those were
the house band
for Elvis Presley, mm-hmm. and we've seen them in concert here all over the place,
right.
And my company flew them to the Queen Mary to perform on occasion, so... They're kind of a cool group of guys. You'll recognize them immediately.
Yeah, and it's a really good movie. We highly recommend. It does have beer in it, and it was a good show. Very good show.
Pill popping.
So that's it. Thanks for listening. Here's Route 44 Redeemed, and we'll see you next time.
What you want for? What to do? then I view the grounds of the shake. I view the sky lit up and an angel awakening me. We're the angels in that bed. I want you to let that poor boy go. But the devil said it won't light the torch that'll burn my soul. Discredited.